It must be 5 o'clock, otherwise you wouldn't be there and I wouldn't be here. How are you? Welcome to Tuesday's Richie Allen Radio Show.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Ah, me belly thought me throat was cut. I'm all right myself, to be honest. Busy old time around Richie Allen Radio Show Towers, with tradesmen running around the place doing things, banging and making noises. But otherwise, it's all right. We're hanging on in there. You can tweet me, BBG Richie. You do know that already. Check out the articles on richieallen.co.uk. Many of them are absolutely garbage, but one or two of them are interesting, and you can share your thoughts. Underneath them, you will never be censored. That is a promise. That's the promise. Just after 5 o'clock then. And it's me and you today, flying solo this afternoon. Okie doke, I'm flying solo this afternoon. There is a bit of a fluctuation in the format, isn't there? I told you around Christmas time, I certainly wasn't bullshitting, but I said, you know, things will change a bit over the course of the next few months. Some days I'll do more than 2 hours, and other days I might do 90 minutes, and other days I'll do an hour. But largely I've been doing two-hour shows, and I will continue to do two-hour radio shows, and I've been filling them with guests. But today, I just couldn't face interviewing somebody today. And I'm in great form, actually. I'm in good form. I had a good run this morning. A better run than I've been doing lately. You know, in terms of the time, I challenge myself to run my 6 kilometres within a certain time. And lately, I've been getting nowhere near it. I've been rubbish. Picture Bella Emberg running up a flight of stairs. I'm not going to start with that, with the crass humour and the nonsense. No, lately I've not been running very well. But today I had a good run, so I'm in good form. But, you know, I was thinking today, I was chatting with an old friend from back home, and he said to me, how have you managed to spend most of the last 14 months talking about the same thing? An old mate of mine, chatting on Skype. And then my oft-mentioned great mate, Jean-Anne, was talking with her about that in recent days as well. I don't know how I've managed to carry on talking about the same thing day in, day out. I suppose I've tried to find a funny approach to it. Not a funny approach to it. I've tried to see the humour in it. I've tried to find the smiles in there. I know people are dying, not of the virus. People are dying of the lockdown. And I've been trying to find the humour in it. The black humour. The gallows humour. Because without that, I probably would have went mad. I nearly went mad in November last. That's how I've managed to do it. But I did think to myself over the last couple of days, and I don't want you now to get worried. Don't be worried now. But today I can't keep platforming people who say what we already know. You know, we know the virus is harmless to 90%+ of the population. We know the lockdown is tyranny. We know the lockdown will kill hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions. The lockdown. We know this. I just mentioned it. Child development. Child harm. We know all of this. We know about the Great Reset. The Fourth Industrial Revolution. The technocracy. Agenda 30. We know how this agenda, this scamdemic with a virus that is harmless for most people, we know that it also bleeds into another agenda, and that's the climate change agenda. We know that the vaccines are not vaccines, and even if they were vaccines, they're not. But even if they were, they're totally unnecessary for 99.5 out of every 100 people. We know they want to replace healthcare with vaccinations. And this is, of course, a big part of this agenda, to replace ordinary healthcare, where you feel a bit unwell and you go to your GP or you go to your healer. I love healers. I love my healer friends, my new healer friends, Peter Ebden, and my old and dear healer friends, Mark Boyarski. Peter is dear to me as well. He's been very helpful with suggestions and information. So you go to a healer or you go to your GP because your GP is maybe an old woman or an old man, and you trust them. That's the way it's been since time immemorial. Now, They want to replace healthcare with vaccinations. They want to, they're moving into a preventative era, which sounds lovely and benign and all of that, but it isn't. They want to vaccinate you against everything, mRNA vaccines. So we know all of this. So the question then becomes, picture a young Bono in 1983. How long to sing this song? And there are days when I can't sing it. There are days when I just can't have another expert on telling us what we have come to understand. And that is not to impugn the experts. It's just if you were in my situation, you'd know. So there will be days when I just can't talk to anybody. And yet here I am talking to you. You just bang your head against the wall, don't you? And when I don't have a guest at the other end of the phone or the Skype, it actually makes it a bit more difficult for me. I've got more work to do. But it helps me to retain my sanity. You know? Do you ever feel when you're listening to Skype, BBC, and I know you might shout at me, I don't watch it, Richie. I don't know why you watch it. Fair enough, but you do really. You're telling Porky's you do watch it from time to time. I know that. And do you ever feel sometimes like it's a game of who blinks first? I feel that sometimes. It's a staring contest. Who's going to blink first, you know? And there you go. Hey, listen, don't waste your time with Spotify anymore. The Richie Allen Show, like many millions of podcasts, does appear on Spotify when I upload it to Podomatic. Problem is, lately, they've been cutting shows. Not all of them, but some shows. And they cut last night's show in half. So if you go onto Spotify now, last night's show appears as like 50 minutes or something, when it was an hour and 48 minutes, minus the music. And I know why they cut it. They cut it because it had Dino Joachim on last night, the hotelier from the Isle of Wight. And Dino has really put his neck on the line. And he's doing the things, is Dino, that we criticised hospitality for not doing. He's a bit of a hero. We don't want to give him a swelled head now or anything, but he's carrying on and he's not bowing down to it or bending the knee. And I like him. And that's why Spotify cut the show in half yesterday and only the first half is available because, well, they don't want people hearing hoteliers with real hotels coming on the air and telling you things like, well, I'm not complying with the restrictions. I'm not telling people to wear masks. I'm not socially distancing. Come to my hotel and have fun. That's why they cut it. So if you don't hear the show live and you get it on podcast, at the moment, the only place to get it really is go to my website on the top right-hand side. You can play it from my website, Podomatic. Okay? That's richieallen.podomatic. That's richieallen.podomatic.com. No, it's just richieallen.podomatic.com. Do you remember this from March 10th? March the 10th. Do you remember this? I bet you don't. Let's rewind. All the way back to March 10th. Nicky Campbell on Radio 5 Live. He was very excited 10 weeks ago, is it?
6:27, Nikki is back. Hello. And is it happy vaccination day, Nikki?
It's happy vaccination day.
Oh, I forgot to send you the card.
And the roses arrived. So thank you for that. Wasn't with the roses. No. But, you know, it's going to be everything centred around the vaccination today. I'm really, you know, I mean, you were saying, you know, with your parents, it was a moving experience.
I cried. Inside. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have the vaccination. Then I've granted Oprah an interview to Excellent. Talk to me about it mm-hmm. afterwards. So, yeah.
Quite a platform, that. Can't wait.
Lovely. So he had his first vaccination on the 10th of March. Now, I didn't do the calculations, but it's about 10 weeks ago. I thought there was an 8-week gap. Is it 10 weeks since the 10th of March? I don't know. Feels like 10 weeks. Anyway, fast forward to this morning, the 25th of May, and it's over to Rachel Burden to introduce Nikki Campbell
again.
Thank
you so much, Sean. Brilliantly done. 6:28. Nikki Campbell, good morning. Excellent tank top action I see this morning.
Apparently he was wearing a tank top.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, it was a busy day yesterday, Rach. Very busy day.
Nicky would look like a dickhead no matter what he was wearing.
Very busy day. Big meeting in town with the BBC boss about stuff and also a fair bit of gossip, as you can imagine.
Oh, I thought you meant for me because I was doing actual work as well, but you meant for you it was a busy day.
I was going to run you through some of the stuff. Yeah, One show last night with K-pop sensation BTS.
Excellent.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
My timeline was kind of busy because I was tagged into a one show tweet. But more importantly than anything else, second jab.
Oh, yeah. How did it go?
Very well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's a good feeling. Very good feeling. So it takes a week.
Sounded like you were speaking through gritted teeth there.
It takes a week, she told me, and then it's kind of at the max, which is great. And
it's at the max. He's had his second jab. It takes a week from now, and he's at the max. Presumably, he means maximum protection.
We can't say it too often. The people working out, magnificent. There's a wonderful positivity about the vaccine centres as well. We're all in this together.
We're all in it together.
Genuine bit of that. So that was my day. There you go.
Well, I don't have time to go into mine, so we'll save that for another occasion. Let's get the weather right now.
Not so much of the jubilation there from Nicky. Maybe he has had an adverse reaction and he's keeping it to himself, maybe. Maybe he has a blood clot in his willy and he can't have relations with Mrs. Campbell, maybe, and he's keeping it to himself. Do you know what the reality is? What I would do, if I was running this vaccine programme, I've been thinking about this, right? My oft-mentioned friend in Connemara, we talk about this, that we would be better at being bad than the baddies. Why? Well, because we've got brains. We have intelligence, right? If I was rolling out this vaccine programme, and we know these vaccines are deadly. We know they are. Not to everybody, but they're deadly to many, 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 many people. And they're unnecessary. So if I was rolling out the vaccine programme, I would be very worried about even Z-list celebrities getting an adverse reaction. Because you just don't need it, do you? You just don't need Rachel Burden telling the Radio 5 Live audience that, well, Nicky's away for the next couple of weeks. Well, he's had a bad reaction to his coronavirus jab. So if I was the evil backstards running the agenda, I would be giving them placebos. The people in the public eye. Now, how would you go about that? Well, you see, we're even more intelligent than the baddies. So I'll tell you how I would go about it. I would be ringing up Dr. Singh. They're always Indians or Sikhs, aren't they? The doctors in the NHS. I'm going to go right into a bit of xenophobia now. They're always Dr. Singh, aren't they? Or Dr. Anwar. Where's the white doctors? Where's the British doctors? Right. I don't care who the doctor is or what they look like, so long as they're qualified. So I'd be ringing up Dr. Singh and I'd be saying, listen, I understand you've got Nicholas Campbell coming in today. And Dr. Singh would say, yes, I do. I would say, give him a saline solution. And Dr. Singh would say, why? And I would say, Dr. Singh, give him a saline solution just in case he has an adverse reaction. And Dr. Singh, you see, he wouldn't be stupid. Or she, you misogynistic prick, Richie. Dr. Singh might be a she. And she might say, what sort of skullduggery is going on here, Mr. Allen? And I would say, oh, none at all. But we know that some of these vaccinees, a person who was vaccinated isn't a vaccinee, but let's call him a vaccinee. We know that some people will get a minor side effects. And Dr. Singh would say, yeah. Well, and I would say, well, there are so many nutty conspiracy theorists out there. It's best if the public eye people got a saline solution. Of course, Dr. Singh would say, well, then they're unprotected from the virus. And I would say, yes, but they're young-ish, these people. They're unlikely to be struck down badly by coronavirus anyway. That's what I would do, because I could be evil if I wanted to be. So, because I know that one or two of our listeners this evening will opine on the idea that they're not getting the vaccines. They're not giving them to the telly and the radio presenters. They're giving them some sort of placebo. You might very well be right. That's what I would do, because I'd be more intelligent than the baddies. My name is Richie Allen, by the way. I don't think you know that. It's 14 minutes past five, the Richie Allen Radio Show, which happens to be live from Super Salford, the greatest city in the world. And this is the Pretenders. The Pretenders, late spring. It is late spring in Europe anyway. And Jean-Anne is telling me, always interesting, Jean-Anne, never dull, ever. She was chatting with David the B-man today. Jean-Anne lives in a beautiful part of the world and it's rural Connemara. And she's neighbours and good friends with David, who's a bee man. And David told her that the bees won't go for the May blossom, the hawthorn, until the temperature rises so that the flowers give off a scent. And Jean Anne said she didn't know that. I didn't know that either. But it's very fascinating. This morning, I think on Good Morning Britain, there was an argument between a couple of people about gardening. There was a lovely gardener on, a gentleman, and he was advising people not to go to town on your lawn mowing. Mowing your lawn. Don't go to town. It's really upsetting the bees. And he advised his viewers, or the viewers of Good Morning Britain anyway, that they shouldn't go, really, they should take it easy on the weeds, on some of the weeds, like dandelion, for instance. Apparently the dandelion is great for the bees and the pollen. There was another gardener on, or another horticulturalist, who didn't agree with him, a woman. But I kind of understood the argument he was making. This gardener guy, go easy on the old. We don't have much of a garden here, because we bought this house from people who actually put AstroTurf down. Now they should be bitch slapped into the Stone Age for putting AstroTurf down. It's rotten, and it would have been dug up already if I could get a gardener, you know, somebody that you could trust to actually do it. If anybody tweets me, why don't you do it yourself, you baldy bastard, I'll find you and I'll kill you. I don't do stuff like that. I'm a celebrity. What? I'm joking, by the way. No, I have no capability. I have no ability to do stuff like that. I'm not green-fingered. I'm not good with anything, even in the house, with a spirit level, with a screwdriver. I'm useless. So when I can get a gardener to dig it all up and put down a beautiful lawn, we'll be letting wildflowers and one or two weeds grow there for the old bees, because bees, of course, are suffering under this agenda as much as any other creature on planet Earth. Why do you think the bee colonies are collapsing and they're finding aluminium levels in bees, aluminium toxicity? Where's the aluminium coming from? I'll give you a clue. Put your head back on the back of your neck and look up. That's where it's coming from. Bees are under attack. 5:20. I tell you, I know everything, you know. I know it all. I've had to burn my encyclopedias because I just know it all. When will it dawn on people? When will it dawn on people that they've been shafted? That they've been taken for a ride? That they've been royally had? What will it take, dear listener? What will it take? Last night we learned that even if you have been fully vaccinated, even if you've had your two jabs and you've been fully vaccinated, you'll still have to isolate if you come into contact with somebody who's been infected.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Yes, yes. Now, according to the Telegraph, this news is likely to undermine plans for the big reopening on the 21st of June. Because it might put people off. The fully vaccinated might say, well, Jesus, I don't know, Mary, we've been fully jabbed, but if we go out and we bump into one of the unclean and then we get a ping on our mobile phones, we'll have to self-isolate, even though we've been fully jabbed. This is true now. The imposition of quarantine on those who've already been fully vaccinated. And it was mentioned today that workplaces might be very reluctant to mix vaccinated and unvaccinated staff if one case of COVID could see lots of staff being forced into quarantine. This is mad. Asher, they were spitting feathers this morning. All those idiots who have had the two pricks. Hollywood legend Sir Ben Kingsley has had two jabs. He was on BBC Breakfast this morning. This was his reaction when he was told, Sir Ben Kingsley, that he would have to isolate even though he's had the two jabs.
Not this fucking time.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No! Not this fucking time! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! You made me look a right cunt!
Yes!
I congratulate.
There you are. He was pissed right off. Ben Kingsley. And rightly so, on BBC Breakfast this morning. Nick Ferrari, the overweight LBC host, He's in his 60s and he's a bit on the rotund side. So I'm presuming that Nick Ferrari has had his two jabs. He is seething. He's seething. Do you want to hear him? You know who I'm talking about, right? Presents breakfast for LBC Radio early in the morning. Here he is, seething, probably at his two jabs. Listen to his voice. He's not happy. He should be there now. Let's try him again. Nick Ferrari.
Let me ask, and not for the first time, what is the point of what we're told is our world-beating vaccination programme if you're going to get pinged and you have to take 10 days off work or stay indoors for 10 days? Equally, it is reported that the Prime Minister's delayed a review of social distancing. This despite the pub trade saying they need the one-metre rule scrapped as of June 21st if they've got a chance to break even. Now, Boris Johnson had previously said he'd publish details of the review by the end of May. He's running out of time. The Downing Street spokesman, the official Downing Street spokesman, saying yesterday, this could be delayed until we know how virulent the Indian variant is.
He's properly pissed off.
Is, but it will be published as soon as possible. Meanwhile, the British Beer and Pub Association says England pubs have no chance of starting a journey to recovery unless all restrictions are lifted on June 21st. What has this all been for? We've all done our bit. We're all told if we self-isolate, if we wear masks, if we keep that distance, if we roll up for our jabs, as you must, by the way, don't for one second take this as a suggestion that you shouldn't. As soon as you get that text or that invitation, get down there, get your sleeve up, get jabbed, get healthy, do it as soon as you possibly can. But are we never to return to normal? My heart goes out to you if you run a bar, a pub, or if you're in the holiday, the business, the travel trade, holiday trade. That's appalling as well. How much longer will this go on?
Going to go on for a while, Nick. And because you did nothing about it, ironically. The irony is so thick you could choke on it. You and your mates at LBC and Talk Radio, you've done nothing to oppose this in 14 months. It's absolutely shocking. Shocking. So you get your two vaccines, you do your duty, your moral duty, you've put up with all of that crap, and then you're told you have to isolate anyway. Sir Ben Kingsley!
Not this fucking time. No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No! Not this fucking time! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! You made me look a right cunt!
Yes! Absolutely! Anyway, Ferrari took calls from people that were equally as pissed off as Sir Ben Kingsley. That even though they've had two jabs, they'll still have to isolate. And, well, the callers weren't impressed either, were they?
A year ago, we was told, wear your mask, yep. Self-distance, don't hang around with anybody, self-isolate, stay away from people. And now, people have waited for their first jab, second jab. This is going to change our lives, we were told. Now, got to wear your mask. You've got to self-isolate. You've got to keep your distance. Hundreds upon hundreds of people have lost their jobs. We're back to square one. It's like it's never happened. What was the whole point of this, Nick?
Joe in Brighton.
They have to be a bit careful because there's mixed messages about the Indian variant that we're 3 to 5 weeks behind. Mm. But I still think we should open up, but we should monitor the situation.
David in Wickford. Ah, now you're a chorister.
We had 4 concerts planned, which we still hope to be on the go. But the recent introduction of restricting the guidelines to 6 caused a lot of consternation. Really, we're at the stage when I think that people are nearly reaching the end of their tether with this one.
Richard in Braintree.
Because we've had such a great vaccination programme, the actual death numbers that you announced today of 3 are still tiny.
Yes.
And the fact that there are now a few more cases... it's a great testament to the excellent outcome of this vaccination and surely means that we should carry on opening up.
That's what you were saying earlier. Let's get to your calls now. But just for that question, will it now never end?
No, it will not. Never ending. It's never ending. This is the thing, you see. That I made a silly gag this morning about if Johnson and Whitty and Jonathan Van Tam said, listen, if you murder your firstborn children, the virus will slip away and you can return to normal. Some people would do it. So enthralled are they to this nonsense, this arbitrary bollocks, you know. couple of weeks to flatten the curve, we remember that, you know. We remember Hancock saying, once we get the vulnerable vaxxed, well, it's cry Freedom Day. It's Freedom Day. Absolute bollocks. Lies on top of lies on top of lies. Now they're saying that the June 21st, let's throw away the masks, let's stop the social distancing and just go right back to normal. That's in doubt now. And telling people who've had the two jabs, well, you've had the two jabs, but if you bump into somebody who we think is infected, you'll have to self-isolate. They're taking the piss out of people. But people are, well, people are people. And they just go along with it, you know. Hi to Chris. Hello, Chris. How are you? Thank you very much, by the way. William says it almost sounded like a penny may have dropped there for Monsieur Ferrari. Maybe. Hi to Debs. Hi, Debs. Thanks for that link. I can't look at it now, sadly. I will check it out later on. Caroline says, he sounds, he being Nick Ferrari, so disappointed that he has had the jabs. He did, didn't he, Caroline? He certainly did. Proly said, take the money, Nick, and STFU. Just bug up. Exactly. Hi to Ewan, who says, Ewan, how you doing, Ewan? Nick Ferrari is not happy. Lip out, fatty. Lip out, fatty. Fatty reggae. Good man. I know I can't call you childish for referring to his weight. That would be the pot calling the kettle a kitchen implement, wouldn't it? Hi to Charlie, who says, Ferrari is such a bell end. Pretty blunt there, Charlie. Good man. Hi to Gary, who says, Richie, the fact of the matter is that the unjabbed won't have track and trace on their phones anyway. So only the jabbed will be getting pinged. Thank you very much, Gary. Thank you very much indeed. Hi to Gail, who says, good evening. It's no Mo May down here in Cornwall, Richie, because it's better for the bees and the insects. It has been raining anyway, says Gail. Thanks, Gail. Rob says, Richie, have you seen the first person who got the jab in the UK, William Shakespeare, has died 6 months after getting it. Nothing to see here, says Rob. Well, Rob, we don't know, do we? I thought it was a woman who got the first shot in the UK. Maybe. Maybe he was the first man to get it. Maybe, I don't know. Thanks to Angela Lambert for sending me a link to that very story. All righty then. I don't know what I'm going to talk about next. Do I? What have I... No, no, I've got a tune. That's right, I've got a tune.
Nothing sweet.
Gabrielle Filmy, Sweet About Me, 27 minutes to 6 o'clock with the BBG. The Richie Allen Radio Show, richieallen.co.uk. I'll say that again. richieallen.co.uk is my website. Check it out, please. I do write stuff on there, and I will be featuring special writers in the near future. Let me read one or two more tweets before I move on. Sean says, hi Sean. Richie, I'm in quarantine in London for 2 weeks before going to work in South America. Every cabin crew member on the BA flight told me they know it's all crap and they will not be getting the jab ever. They're just going through the motions, alleges Sean. Not saying I don't believe you, Sean, but I've got to say allegedly. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Wouldn't surprise me at all. By the way, don't be inviting people onto my radio show on Twitter, please. I'll decide who speaks on my radio show. Thank you very much. I love this. I notice this on a daily basis. Some of our listeners tweet people and invite them on this radio show. It's wonderful, really. Just don't do it, all right? I produce this radio program and I'm quite happy to do it by myself. If you'd like me to interview somebody, just drop me a message and I will have a look at them. But don't be inviting people because they might say yes and then I might say no and then you might look like a bit of an idiot, you know? Jack says, Richie, I had my first coercive call from COVID police 1 minute before the start of your show today. She asked me if it was okay to chat about my COVID vaccine. I replied, I don't think so. And that was that. Next slide, please, says Jack. Good man, Jack. I've actually had a dream about that. You know when Boris Johnson stands alongside that idiot Chris Whitty and the other goon, Patrick Vallance, and Johnson talks his bollocks and then Chris Whitty brings out the slides? I've had that dream. I have. Where he's like, next slide, please. Now, I know we've been in restrictions for 3 years, but we're concerned about a variant that was discovered in Aberdeen. I've had that dream, honestly. That's a genuine dream that I've had. I know. All right then. By the way, this coming Thursday evening, I will be with Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth in Manchester somewhere in a television studio with them. I'm a guest on The Big Show. We're going to have a lot of laughs, so if you want to check that out, go to Altfeed on YouTube, youtube.com/Altfeed, A-L-T-F-E-E-D. I don't know what time it'll be, sometime around 9 o'clock or thereabouts, this coming Thursday. How about them apples? Triggerwarning.tv, follow at TriggeredTV on Twitter as well. All right, it's time for us to take another story. The vaccine minister Nadeem Zahawi, yes him, answered an urgent question in the Commons today about variants of concern and local lockdowns by stealth in Bolton and elsewhere in a number of locations around the country. People are cheesed off because the government published advice on the website telling these people that they shouldn't leave their towns and that nobody else should go into these towns because of the Indian variant. And many of these local authorities are pissed right off. Said the government didn't tell us. They just put it on the website and all of that. Ballyhoo. Ballyhoo. What a great word. Anyway, so Nadeem Zahawi took an urgent question in the Commons and then answered questions from members of Parliament. Former Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt. Swap the H for a C, if you please. Jeremy Hunt wants to stick it to the kiddies. This is unimaginably evil.
Can I congratulate the Minister for the outstanding rollout of the vaccine programme, which is a source of enormous pride to all of us on all sides of the House. As we emerge from lockdown, we all want it to be a permanent change, and for most families the biggest priority is to make sure that schools remain open, even if we find that new variants arrive in the UK in the course of the autumn. We know that children don't tend to get bad symptoms, but they can spread the virus. So is it time
to look at
vaccination?
We know that children don't get bad symptoms, but they do not spread the virus. So here comes the clincher, the kicker. Let's vaccinate the kiddies.
Spread the virus. So is it time to look at vaccinating the over 12s as they are doing in the United States? Is it time to look at whether we can use some of the FDA analysis to speed up that decision-making process?
Right, so the American FDA, the regulatory authority in America, has approved the Pfizer jab for children over 12. And Hunt is saying to Zahawi, let's forget about getting our own regulatory body to look at it. Let's just take the FDA's word for it and let's start sticking the 12-year-olds. He's pure evil, Jeremy Hunt. On steroids.
So that by the time children come back in the autumn, schools are protected and we can be confident they'll be able to stay open.
There's no problem in schools now. There never was. So there's no need to vaccinate children. What does Zahawi say?
I'm grateful for my Rotten friend's question. I think he's absolutely right to focus on the protection of children, but also...
Children's immune systems protect them very well. They don't need to be protected. But...
of families and their community.
Imagine that, families in the community. We've got to jab the children to protect their families and the community. This is horse shit now, not conjecture. I defy anybody. My great friend, Hayden Hewitt, who might disagree with me on this, and of course I would respect his right to do so, I would defy anybody to challenge me and to declare me to be wrong and to show me the... Children... do not spread this to anybody. Asymptomatic transmission is a myth. It's pure mythology. It doesn't happen. Up until March last year, it was an accepted scientific fact that unless you're running around with sweat pissing out of you and you're sneezing and coughing and spluttering and bringing up phlegm, unless you're doing that, you can't pass anything on to anybody. Children don't spread virus to anybody. They don't. It's never been proven, for example, that children pass the flu on to anybody. They know they can't justify vaccinating children for the sake of the children, so they have to tell whoppers like this.
That clinical decision has not been taken in the United Kingdom. He will be aware, as well as the US regulator, the Canadian regulator, has approved the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. We will... operationally be ready, but ultimately the decision has to be a clinical one, and our regulator will have to be satisfied that the vaccines are extremely safe, because when you're vaccinating children, where essentially you're yes, offering some protection to them, and of course children can be infected with COVID and have some evidence of long COVID amongst children.
There's no evidence of long COVID. He can't even say that without stuttering. There's no evidence of long COVID. It's a myth again. And the idea that children get long COVID is garbage. Children don't get coronavirus, let alone long COVID. So this is where they're moving, right?
Children. But on the whole, it is really to protect their families and transmission in communities. The vaccines have to be incredibly safe before we administer them to children. Yeah. But we are... we have the infrastructure in place to be able to do that as and when that regulatory and clinical decision is made.
In total, I think this government has ordered nearly 500,000 vaccines. So they've got the vaccines. They're not vaccines. Let's call them injections. They've got the syringes. So they've got enough of them. And undoubtedly, the MHRA, the Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Authority, which oversees the licensing of medication here in the UK, it will undoubtedly give license to these lunatics to vaccinate children. And all you can hope is that some parents hear programmes like this. And they might think, sure, this Irish guy's a little bit mad, but he's speaking pretty clearly. I'll check out what he's saying. There are any number of doctors who've broken ranks, you know, real doctors, who've broken ranks to say, please do not give these treatments to children. So at least listen to them. If you're a new listener to this programme and you have children and you're checking this programme out of curiosity, please don't take my word for it. There is an archive of interviews on Podomatic and on iTunes where I've interviewed top epidemiologists, virologists and doctors. And, you know, listen to them and don't allow your children be injected with this garbage. Please don't. A little while later, in the same Commons session, Vaccine Minister Nadeem Zahawi was on his feet again, and he was asked a question by a Conservative Party MP called Sean Bailey. Listen to the question Bailey asks him, and it's the language here, which is a bit creepy.
Sean Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the record vaccine rollout has absolutely vindicated the decision of my constituents in Wensbury, Albury and Tipton to believe that this country can actually succeed in terms of standing on our own 2 feet. But, Mr. Speaker, vaccination is going to form a really big part of our lives going forward. Can I ask my right honourable friend what work he's doing around localised infrastructure?
I know it's annoying sometimes when I do this, but just listen to what Sean Bailey says here again. And he wasn't the only person today to say this. You know.
But, Mr. Speaker, vaccination is going to form a really big part of our lives going forward. Can I ask?
Vaccinations are going to become a big part of our lives going forward. Vaccinations. This is the plan now. You have to understand. This is being repeated over and over again. Why? So that it kind of sinks into your subconscious and that you somehow kind of come to accept it without really understanding why you've come to accept it. Why am I happy now to go and have a vaccine for diabetes, a vaccine for obesity, even though I'm perfectly healthy? Why am I going to get a vaccine for a certain type of cancer? Why am I going to get a vaccine for earache? Why am I going to get a vaccine for piles, for hemorrhoids? I'm not joking, by the way. Why am I doing that? They're planting seeds in your mind. They're basically drilling down into your subconscious. Vaccines and vaccinations are going to play a big part in our lives going forward. He's not thought of that himself, Sean Bailey. This is a question that was given to him to read. Right?
Ask my right honourable friend what work he's doing around localised infrastructure going forward to ensure that as we have to continue our vaccination rollout, we have the localised infrastructure to do that and to ensure this great progress isn't hindered.
I absolutely agree with my honourable friend. If the virus was designed to test liberal democracies, because the only way we could combat it was to withdraw people's freedoms with the dreaded non-pharmaceutical intervention of the MPIs, then the vaccine has played to the real strength of the four nations that make up the peoples of these isles, in the sense of that Dunkirk spirit coming together, the thousand flotillas, you know, the volunteer vaccinators, 80,000 of them, the doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and of course our armed forces and our local government colleagues who've not only stepped up in terms of identifying communities that we need to protect, but also finding those sites. So we are already making plans for the booster jab and be ready by September. The clinical decision hasn't been made as yet, I would remind the House, but when it is made, whether it's September, October, November, or early in the new year, we'll be ready to go. And we're also planning as to how it dovetails with our flu vaccination programme and to see how we can increase the uptake of the flu vaccination programme, because the worst of all worlds is you do well against COVID and then you're hit by a heavy flu season in the autumn.
Dunkirk spirit. Did you hear that, bollocks? You did. Dunkirk spirit. So that booster jab's coming in the autumn. They're coming anyway. There's nobody in hospital. They have claimed that their current injections are successful against the variants, including the Indian variants. There's nobody in hospital. Nobody's dying of this. It's nonsense. And yet they're saying we're going to run a booster program in the autumn. And they've spent millions of pounds on advertising that will run into next year, which is very spooky as well. Not necessarily advertising or advertisement for booster vaccines, but maybe advertisements for lockdowns, for hands, face and space campaigns going into this coming autumn and winter. These people are unimaginably evil. They really are. That was Vaccine Minister Nadeem Zahawi there. It is 13 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. I think we'll take Danny Wilson. Why not? Everything I would give to be when I was made. Danny Wilson. Yeah, it's lovely, that. Mary's Prayer, yeah. Hi to Paula Lieberman. How you doing, Paula? You anything to the Henderson Liebermans? Or the Shepper Henderson Liebermans? You might be. Paula Lieberman, yeah, lovely email. Thanks, Paula. Richie, listening to you talking about how there is no asymptomatic transmission and that children cannot transmit, please listen to Critically Thinking with Dr. T, that must be Dr. Tenpenny, and Dr. P, their most recent episodes. It appears, says Paula, that the vaccine transmits self-perpetuating vaccines, that is, no one knows what is being transmitted at this time, whether it is the spike protein or something else. But as you know, Non-vaccinated people are getting ill from vaccinated people. This is where they are going with it. Paula, thank you. Now, I don't know that to be true. I don't know that non-vaccinated people like me are in danger from vaccinated people. I don't know that. But, of course, I don't dismiss it. It's very, very possible. And the lovely Kelly Marr, great friend of mine, Londoner, who parents are from the old country, or grandparents. Kelly came on one of the phone-ins to talk about this. We heard about the problems with menstruating women, or a problem with the menstrual cycle experienced by some women who believe that their proximity to vaccinated people might have something to do with it. So I don't dismiss it. I certainly wouldn't dismiss Sherry Tenpenny. I've interviewed Sherry many times. Thanks, Paul. It's a very good email, that. Who knows, eh? If you've got any thoughts on that, please tweet them to BBG Richie. Thank you. I don't know much about this young woman who is part of the Black Lives Matter movement. Sasha Johnson was shot in London. Was it over the weekend? Was it Sunday? And there's a big row about whether she was targeted or whether it was one of those not so much drive-by shootings, but whether it was just an attack on somebody else. I don't know anything about it. I really don't. Thanks for the tweet, William. I know that Diane Abbott, the Labour MP, former, of course, Shadow Home Secretary, she's getting some flack for stating that the woman was targeted because of her activism, when the police have said there is no evidence to suggest that she was targeted. Who knows who to believe? I don't know. And I wish the woman very well. I mean, she was shot in the head. God love her. Hopefully she'll make a recovery. She's in critical condition, apparently, in hospital. Let's hope she makes a full recovery, even though we think, or I think, she's as mad as a box of frogs. And Black Lives Matter and all of that old jazz. 6 minutes to the top of the hour. That bloody agenda. Might talk about that briefly in a moment. Diane says, Richie, how is it that I'm the only one in the shops not wearing a mask? Funny you say that. Our friend, Jean-Anne, she goes to a German supermarket because she's very thrifty, Jean-Anne. Still has her communion money, has Jean-Anne. She goes to a German supermarket and she's the only one not wearing a mask. But because Jean-Anne is, well, very forthright in expressing herself, because she's pretty intelligent and well able to stand up for herself, because she's well known in the village, they leave her be. They leave her well enough alone. Diane says, Richie, how? This is Diane, who was on the programme, by the way, to speak about issues around transgender, transsexual issues. Diane came on, lovely. Had a great chat with her. Get her back on in the future. I'm an electrical engineer by trade, says Diane. I do remember that. Yet I can listen to doctors like Vernon Coleman, for example, and read scientific papers and understand. Why is it that no one else seems to be doing this, asks Diane. I don't know, Diane. I see masks everywhere. I see stupid people. They're everywhere. Except they don't know that they're stupid. Yeah, I see them everywhere. Hi to Susan. Hi, Susan. How you doing, Susan? You well? You well? You well? Hi to Terence of Salford. That's Tez Howell, my pal. We shall vaccinate on the beaches. We shall vaccinate on the landing grounds. We shall vaccinate in the fields and in the streets. We shall vaccinate in the hills. They will. Pop-up vaccination centres are going up around the country, in supermarket car parks. Oh yes, they'll be everywhere. Everywhere you go, you'll find a little vaccination centre. You want a game of crazy golf? There'll be a little guy with a table and rubber gloves on and a visor, and he'll have a vaccine. And the only way you can get out of it is if you get 18 holes in one. 18 holes in one, and you don't have to be jabbed at the end of it. Hi to Wendy Ruth. How you doing, Wendy? How you doing, Wendy? And another email came in from Jeff. Jeff is in Humberside. How you doing, Jeff? He says, Richie, you mentioned at the top of the programme that you've been doing this for 14 months. Can you think of the craziest thing you've heard in that time? Well, I can do, because the craziest thing I heard in that time, Jeff, in Humberside, was only last week, wasn't it? Was it last week or was it Monday? But no, it wasn't Monday. Today is Tuesday. It was last week. The craziest thing I've probably ever heard in my entire life.
I had the vaccine. It put me in hospital for a day. But I haven't moaned. I've had the second one, and he put me in hospital for another day. But I'd much rather have that than COVID.
I had the first vaccine. Put me in hospital for a day. I didn't moan. Didn't moan. Got discharged. Came out. Had my second dose. Put me in hospital for a day again. Matthew, are you planning on having the booster shot in September? Yes, I am.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies.
I'm sure if Matthew has the booster jab in September, he won't be speaking on any more phone-in programmes on BBC Breakfast Radio. And Matthew, of course, wasn't finished there, was he?
We see you again.
Again. He also said this, did the Mad Baxter.
Why on earth should somebody who has refused to have it take a bed that I might need if I have a bad reaction to it?
If you refuse to have the vaccine, why should you have a hospital bed if you get sick when I might need it if I have a bad reaction from the vaccine? Jeff, that remains the nuttiest thing I have heard in the 14 months of this nightmare, because I still am holding on to the idea that we might wake up. You know, I might go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow morning. It'll be like, I don't know, it'll be like that season of Dallas. That's what it'll be. It'll be like that season of Dallas. We all thought that Bobby Ewing was dead. We thought he was dead, and we had a whole season, and at the end of that season we realised Bobby wasn't dead, he was just having a shower. So I'm hoping it'll be a bit like that in the future. I'll wake up one morning and me mates will be at the door to say, right, Rich, we're off to see Salford Red Devils this afternoon. Get your points in. I'll be like, what? What's going on? What about quarantine? What about no fans at venues? And my mates will look at me like there's like I'm crazy. So that's what I'm hanging on to, you know? Anyway, there you go. Hey, I don't know. Asher, look, you know. Do you want to laugh for a couple of minutes before I move on to some more grim stories? Here's a bit of a laugh for you.
Now, I tell you, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape, you know? Now, last week I told my wife we need a home improvement loan. She gave me $1,000 to move out. Now, I tell you, my wife, there's always something, you know? Well, the other day I called her up. I said to her, honey, I've been thinking the last time we had sex, I'm getting excited. She said, who is this? I tell you, my wife, she never went for me. Well, the first time I called her up, she told me, come on over, there's nobody home. I went over, there was nobody home. My wife, she drives me nuts. Well, she was afraid of the dark, she saw me naked, now she's afraid of the light. Well, I tell you, that's all right, that's okay. I tell you, actually, I shouldn't tell jokes about my wife. I mean, she's attached to a machine that keeps her alive. The refrigerator. And I tell you, my wife, she can't cook either. My house, we pray after we eat. I bought a pressure cooker. Now I eat off the ceiling. What a lousy cook. I don't think meatloaf should glow in the dark. I mean, she can't cook at all. She made chocolate mousse and antler got stuck in my throat. I'll tell you my trouble. Got the wrong doctor. You know my doctor. Dr. Vinnie Boombas. Know my doctor? And I saw him last week. I told him, Doc, every day I wake up, I look in the mirror, I want to throw up. What's wrong with me? He said, I don't know, but your eyesight is perfect. Are you kidding? I know I'm ugly. I asked a bartender to make me a zombie. Told me God beat him to it. And I'll tell you, know when you're ugly, all right? Well, Halloween, my wife sends the kids out dressed like me. I mean, I'll tell you the whole story. I like the whole story, okay? All right. I mean, you know when you're ugly. Well, last Halloween, a kid tried to pull my face off. And my kids, they flip a coin to see who has to kiss me goodnight. And I was an ugly kid, too. I told my old man, never took me to the zoo. He said, if they want you, they'll come and get you. Well, that's the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect. No respect at all. You kidding me? Well, I was drowning. I was yelling, help, help. And the lifeguard ran over. I said, all right, buddy, keep it down. Yeah, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, I called up suicide prevention. They tried to talk me into it.
Yeah, the late, great Rodney Dangerfield there. I used that clip, I think, on a Sunday programme ages and ages ago. Great, great stuff. Right. Apparently, there are people online claiming that there are chips being implanted in us through the injections. Notice I don't laugh, right? Others are claiming that the vaccines make a person magnetic. Have I got this right? And I did see a video on Twitter where somebody claimed that they were signalling Wi-Fi on their phone. I'm not saying that right, am I? Somebody who had a vaccine turned his phone on and turned Bluetooth on. That's right. Turned Bluetooth on and the phone started looking for a Bluetooth connection that he believed was actually inside him. That maybe something had been planted in him that could connect to Bluetooth. Right. So these things are out there. Do I believe them? I know patents have been granted to use vaccines, to use syringes, to implant nanotechnology in people, including basically including microchips that can store information and that can be read from external readers. Yes, I've seen this stuff. Right, okay. Do I believe that they're putting vaccines, excuse me, do I believe that they're putting microchips in to people using these injections? I would bet against it. At this point, I would bet against it. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me why they would try and do that now. Anyway, LBC Radio, a resident idiot, James O'Brien, wanted to get into this today. Wanted to know why. What's in it for people? For the people who spread these theories. He wants to know what's in it for them. It's worth a listen, this O'Brien on his programme on LBC.
Somebody somewhere decided to introduce it to the public bloodstream. That's not the best choice of words, is it, in the current context? That the vaccines make you magnetic and indeed Bluetooth enabled. And I don't laugh at, well, I do kind of laugh at it, especially when I catch Keith's eye, but I also don't laugh at it because what I've learned over the course of the last 18 months is how many outwardly sensible people fall for nonsense like this. So when we took calls probably over a year ago now, do you know it's a year to the day since Dominic Cummings sat in the Rose Garden at Downing Street and told you that he'd gone for a 60-mile drive to test his eyesight? Sheesh. And the Cabinet were telling you he was trustworthy then. They'll be telling you the opposite tomorrow.
Mm. Dominic Cummings lied about taking a 60-mile drive to test his eyesight, says O'Brien. Mm. Jimmy O'Brien dissing old Dominic Cummings. But yesterday, on the same programme yesterday, Jimmy O'Brien endorsed Dominic Cummings when criticising Boris Johnson. Have a listen.
So we'll say 63,000 people have died. Yeah. Dominic Cummings says an awful lot of them would still be alive if we'd gone into lockdown sooner and we hadn't flirted with this notional idea of herd immunity. So
hindsight,
who do you believe?
Thing, James, isn't it?
Who do, no, he you was there that. At the time, Alan. So who do you believe?
I believe Boris Johnson.
And why?
Because he's the guy that's in charge. He's got a lot of advisers around him, as we know.
Yes.
He's the guy.
And his key advisor, is saying that this isn't true. So you can't really say he's got a lot of advisers around him when the most senior one of all is completely contradicting you.
Yeah, bit of a hypocrite there, Jimmy. You can't have your cake and eat it. Either Dominic Cummings is a liar and completely untrustworthy, or he's somebody that you can trust when he says that Boris Johnson wanted to let it rip and didn't lock down soon enough, Jimmy O'Brien. Back to the spread of the crazy theories and who might be doing it and for what gain. Now, I think this is very interesting. It's worth staying with this. These theories that seem to get a lot of attention about Bluetooth and all of this, where are they coming from? Because I know they're not coming from you. They're certainly not coming from me. I've had epidemiologists and virologists on this programme who are very sceptical about the need for these COVID injections. And they're also very concerned about the damage that these COVID injections might do. But these are credible people. They've not been talking about Bluetooth and microchips and Bill Gates either. So who is making it up? Let's have a listen to a bit more of O'Brien.
I think it was back in March of 2020 that we first took calls from people who were genuinely convinced that Bill Gates wanted to put a tiny microchip in their bloodstream and that coronavirus was invented so that when the vaccine came along, it would enable him to undertake some form of population control. And you can tell from my voice, I'm torn. I'm 50%. I'm 50%. Whoa. Because if people believe it, then it becomes dangerous.
Dangerous. So it's dangerous to discuss these things. You and I both know that the very same people who talk about moving away from a treatment philosophy when it comes to healthcare and to a more targeted approach of immunizing people against things that, you know, they don't have. Kind of like a pre-crime approach, right? Like Minority Report. Let's start giving you loads and loads of vaccines for things that you might never get anyway. Now, we know that there is an agenda to... We know that there is a transhumanism agenda. It's a stated agenda. And that there are people who eventually do want to put microchips and other nanotechnology things. What would you call them, I suppose? Not so much treatments, but what's the word? What would you call these things? Accessories. You'd almost call them accessories, right? Human body accessories. There are people who want to do this. Okay. So we know this, and it's a stated agenda. He's laughing at it. What does he say next?
So we've done quite a lot on the psychology of credulity or gullibility or whatever you prefer to call it. What we haven't done is ask what's in it for the people doing it. So a lot of the lies about Brexit are easy to understand, you know, because people thought it was going to be good. Even if they couldn't actually provide any real reasons why it would be good, they were so convinced that it was going to be good that they could provide unreal reasons and their conscience would be clear.
Just ignore this Brexit stuff. This guy's a proper arsehole, right? He hasn't the first idea what he's talking about, but just let him get on to it.
Clear. That's one example. Other things that aren't true, send me money and I'll protect you from the hooded claw. That is a good business model, incredibly successful grift. You've seen it in all areas of our lives in recent years. People telling you, oh, the mainstream media won't report on this. If you send me money, I'll tell you all about what's going on. Brackets, I get all my information out of the mainstream media, but obviously you don't read it. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe me when I tell you that the mainstream media aren't reporting this. Here's my PO box number. Don't forget my PayPal. Close bracket. So I kind of understand when there's money in it for people.
He's talking there about the truth or industrial complex. He's got a point there. I've talked about it too often. I'm not going to talk about it today and not for a long time. But people who sell this sensationalist nonsense to people who want to hear it, we know this is true. People who tell you things like, for example, I don't know, somebody who used to be a truther, he's not around anymore, used to say things like, oh, people have gotten very ill at Glastonbury because they've been exposed to 5G. And this was bullshit. It was a huge lie. But that was a guy with a PayPal account. Send me money. I'll tell you all this stuff. So he's got a point there, O'Brien. So there is a truth or industrial complex that sells a lot of stuff to people who want to hear it. Microchips and all of that. Okay, we'll give him that.
But I don't think there's any money in this, is there? There's no money in suggesting that Bill Gates wants to control you. Or indeed in suggesting that by taking the vaccine you become Bluetooth enabled.
But Bill Gates does want to control you. This is the thing. It's his stated aim. He's not minced his words, Gates, when he's talked about how he plans to play a huge part in transforming the way every one of us lives our lives from here on in. And not just around medicine either, and medical interventions, vaccines, but also climate change. And a lot of other agendas. Gates is the guy who wants to try and block out the sun. I mean, is this guy for real, James O'Brien? He can't be that galactically stupid, can he? It is Bill Gates' stated aim to vaccinate every man, woman, child, dog, cat, hamster, gerbil, snake, and anaconda on the planet. And not just one time either. But lots of times. For imaginary illnesses. So it's a fact. It's an absolute fact that Gates wants to effectively take control of what you can and can't do, where you can and can't go, and what you should take by way of medical interventions. Surely O'Brien must know this. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's a stated aim of Gates. and Gates as pals. OK. Let's move on a bit.
What's in it for the liars? There's no money. If there's no money in it, right, it's anonymous, so there's no power attached to it. There's no profile. There's no political gain. If you were a foreign power, then maybe that's part of the answer. You want to continue to disrupt and destabilise liberal democracies in the West in order to shore up your own kleptocracy in the East. I'm looking at you, Vladimir.
What a dickhead.
Then I can see why. Because a lot of the vaccine-related nonsense did turn out to have come from, I think, with MMR, actually. A lot of the MMR nonsense came out more recently, has come out of bot stroke troll farms in Russia. So a foreign regime seeking to disrupt a stable liberal Western democracy, maybe. That part of the answer. You can have that if you want. But the other one just eludes me.
I have a theory about all of this. I don't know what you think about it, but I obviously want you to tell me, if you don't mind. BBG Richie, you are at the Richie Allen radio show. What else? It's 13 minutes past six. It is, of course, Tuesday, May 25th. This is what I think is going on. Your opinions, please. Maybe there's a whole operation going on, run by the agencies behind the vaccines and other agencies, to put this stuff out there as misdirection, like countermeasures. And it's a great irony here, because the misdirection today, microchips in vaccines and Bluetooth capability, that misdirection today might be reality in 5 years' time. Do you understand me? So maybe the people behind these vaccines put out this information as a countermeasure. And you, and I know you because I see you on Twitter, you are trying to talk about the real damage that the vaccines are doing. You're trying to talk about pathogenic priming and the claims that have been made by very credible scientists that pathogenic priming could kill lots and lots of people who have these interventions. That's what you're doing. And while you're doing that, you're getting classic straw man by James O'Brien. Because if the Cupid stunt looked at the government's yellow card data or the VAERS data in America, O'Brien would know that these interventions are killing thousands and thousands of people. And again, that isn't conjecture. It's not an opinion of mine. It's a fact. Classic strawman. So while you are out there, and I see you doing your best, saying to people, look, the interventions are not really vaccines. They've not been trialled. They were given emergency use authorisation. The swine flu vaccine killed lots of people and gave narcolepsy to many more. They're desperate for us to have this intervention, even though we don't need it. And I see you on social media telling people about the scientists who say this could do you serious damage. And of course, we've got the reporting data. So what is James O'Brien doing? Well, it's classic strawman. O'Brien is talking about lunatics who are saying that, well, I'm not saying these people are lunatics. Now, he is. He's saying you've got lunatics talking about Bluetooth, magnets, and of course, microchips and Bill Gates. Classic strawman. O'Brien knows that very credible people are not talking about magnets, Bluetooth, or Gates. Sorry, Bluetooth, magnets, or microchips, but in fact are talking about the real harm that the interventions are doing. See, O'Brien is a gatekeeper. Consciously or unconsciously, he's a gatekeeper. He's not that important. He doesn't have that many listeners. In fact, his radio station is hemorrhaging listeners, as is talk radio, hemorrhaging listeners. But if you get enough of them in place, talk radio, LBC, the other commercial stations, and of course the BBC, you get enough little men and women like O'Brien throwing out the misdirection and the countermeasures about tinfoil hats and Bluetooth. Their hope is that people don't see the stuff that we're actually talking about. Because we're not talking about Bluetooth and magnets and microchips, we're talking about the fact that thousands of people have already died as a result of one of these interventions. Hundreds of thousands have had very serious reactions, like the dipstick Matthew, who had to be hospitalised after both of his doses. Hundreds of thousands. So you're talking about that. And the mainstream media is talking about something that you're not actually even saying. It's classic Strawman. And it's how they operate. And maybe there's something to be taken out of it. Maybe there's something positive about it. Maybe, just maybe, they're getting a bit desperate. Maybe.
And the going gets tough. The tough get going, 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 going.
Billy Ocean, going gets tough. When the going gets tough, even the tough get going. Political JJ says that his initial thought was very similar to what I've expressed. I haven't heard anyone mention Bluetooth, he says. Nobody. I think it's a deflection tactic to distract attention away from the valid criticism of the jabs, the yellow card scheme, etc. Thanks, JJ. Ewan came back on to say maybe O'Brien is unwittingly creating some clickbait that will pique people's interest, but that ultimately leads them onto other provable problems with the jabs. And thanks to Ben in Galway for the very kind words. Thank you, Ben. Ben, you've not heard much radio by all accounts, but thanks, mate. Lovely thought, lovely sentiment. Best in Salford anyway. Chris was on to say, yes, it's like when you hear the Bill Gates nanochip control thing again, you think, is that all you've got? That's all, says Chris. It is. You wonder why they even get into that. You know, I don't understand why they would even get into it. What's the point of it? The only conclusion I draw is that somebody is a bit concerned. Maybe they're getting a bit concerned because it's going to be pretty difficult in the short term, maybe. In the midterm, it's going to be difficult to hide the avalanche of vaccine injuries. Now, that's conjecture, right? That's conjecture. I'll be the first to admit that. It's what I think. It's not what I can prove. I think that hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. I've had a message from Susan, who sent me a link to Bolton NHS. That's NHS Bolton. Bolton is the city, not very far at all from Salford. It's only a few minutes up the road, in fact. Thanks for that, Susan. I've had a look at it, and it's something that it isn't dated. It's dated May 2021, but it's not dated. The Chief Operating Officer and Deputy Chief Executive, Andy Ennis, has posted on boltonft.nhs.uk that Royal Bolton Hospital is currently very busy. People are presenting at our emergency department with a range of problems, and staff are working very hard to ensure they receive all the care they need as quickly and as efficiently as possible. However, we are also now seeing more people requiring hospital treatment from the effects of COVID-19. And whilst we have discharged the number overnight, today we still have 41 inpatients with COVID, including 8 in critical care. Now, this must be today, Susan, or yesterday, because the next paragraph says, going into the bank holiday weekend and half term, which is always a busy time for the NHS, we anticipate this pressure continuing. As such, are taking urgent actions to ensure we can continue to manage this demand effectively. Now, Susan, who has tweeted me, obviously believes that when Andy Ennis, the COO and Deputy Chief Executive of Bolton NHS Foundation Trust, that when he says that we are seeing people presenting at the emergency department with a range of problems, Susan believes they're presenting because of vaccine adverse events. We don't know that, Susan, but I totally understand why you might think so, and I would like to know more about it. So I'm certainly not dismissing it or anything like it. Don't get me wrong, but you know me, I like to talk. No. I'll be honest. I don't exclusively talk about what we can prove. I often talk about things that we can't prove, because we should do. We can't prove that, but I'm beginning to suspect you might be right. But I don't know. Hi to Kieran Johnson, or Kieran. How you doing, Kieran? Listening from Cork, Richie. Thanks for getting me through all of the insanity. Thanks, Kieran. Kieran. I'm glad to meet you, buddy. Thanks for that nice comment. Alan in Liverpool says, I almost treat these claims as a cynical lie. Of course, they will muddy the waters to stop any real dissent. That's Alan in Liverpool. Let's do something else for a moment. It's 25 past six. I thought I'd be gone around 6 o'clock, but I'm still here. I could talk the hind legs off a donkey. There you are. I could out-talk a bingo hall full of blue rinse ladies. So I could, when my mind is put to it, so I could. Shall we do a little bit of George Floyd, shall we? Floyd was killed a year ago today. I still don't give a shit, to be honest, about George Floyd. And I don't mean that I don't empathise with people who go through what he seemingly went through. And I certainly do not mean I don't feel sorry for the families. What I mean is I didn't know George Floyd. By all accounts, he was killed by a wanker of a policeman. Right? Hundreds of thousands of people were killed in Yemen in the last 2 years and in the Middle East by guns and bombs that were made here. The Israeli government murders and tortures the indigenous people of Palestine. It shoots children. It interns children and tortures them. And Israel does it because it's allowed and enabled to do it by the country I currently reside in. I blame the UK for it, not Israel. Israel, if you take Israel, not the people, because there are some really nice Israelis, believe it or not, but if you take Israel as a single person, you can't, but if you did, like a corporation, right? Israel is insane. It's psychotic. So all of this is going on. Hundreds of thousands will die because of totalitarian lockdowns. So George Floyd really isn't much of an interest to me, really. It's kind of ho-hum past the butter, you know. But the death of George Floyd has been seized upon over the last 12 months by people pushing the agendas that we talk about on this programme. The agendas. Just have a listen, just briefly, to BBC Radio 2 presenter Jeremy Vine getting all, well, a lot of pathos here, getting all serious about the anniversary of the death of George Floyd.
A year ago today, George Floyd was killed. Mr. Floyd was a 46-year-old black man from Minnesota. He was a talented musician with a young daughter and a keen interest in basketball. On the 25th of May last year, he died during what should have been a routine arrest.
Hang on a second. Let's hear the start of that again, because there's a little bit more to George Floyd's biography than Jeremy Vine said.
A year ago today, George Floyd was killed. Mr. Floyd was a 46-year-old black man from Minnesota. He was a talented musician with a young daughter and a keen interest in basketball. On the 20th...
Yeah, and he went to prison at least 8 times that we know of. One of the times he went to prison, he burst into an apartment with a gang of thugs and held a pregnant woman hostage while they robbed her. And there were children present. What does that mean in the grand scheme of things, Richie? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that George Floyd deserved to be murdered by a police officer kneeling on his neck. Of course it doesn't. But if you're going to be eulogising people and martyring them, you have a responsibility to tell the whole story. George Floyd was no angel. He wasn't. Regardless of what they want you to believe today, he's no martyr. He was no saint. He was a bit of an arsehole, by all accounts, right? So if you're going to do a eulogy for him, if you're going to do a, you know, a 12-month later on feature on the man, at least tell the truth about him. Anyway.
25th of May last year, he died during what should have been a routine arrest. Derek Chauvin, a white police officer, knelt directly on his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. The whole incident was filmed by a bystander. In the distressing footage, you can hear Mr. Floyd gasping for breath. He calls out for his mother and keeps repeating, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, sir." The video of his killing quickly went viral. Protests against police brutality and racism spread like wildfire to hundreds of cities all over the states.
Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot!
The failure of authorities to act hit a nerve. It was seen as yet another instance of a black man being killed by a white police officer with impunity. At the time Donald Trump was the US president, he was said to have inflamed tensions by calling the protesters thugs and tweeting, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." Even as everything was happening, it felt like a moment in history. People likened what became known as the Black Lives Matter movement to the fight for civil rights in the 50s and 60s. As always, there are certain speeches which mark the time. The American rapper Killer Mike said these words the week after Mr. Floyd died.
Killer Mike.
Floyd died.
"I'm mad as hell. I woke up wanting to see the world burn down yesterday. I'm tired of seeing black men die. He casually put his knee on a human being's neck for 9 minutes as he died like a zebra in the clutch of a lion's jaw. And we watch it like murder porn over and over again."
Killer Mike.
"Again. So that's why children are burning to the ground. They don't know what else to do."
The incredible thing is that all of this took place during the coronavirus pandemic. But
Yes. That's it in a nutshell. The incredible thing is that all of this took place during the coronavirus pandemic. We'll come back to that in a minute because I think that's what it's really all about. I'm not saying that George Floyd wasn't killed. Of course I'm not saying that. But I think everything else that came after it had the look of, it smacked of careful orchestration, every bit of it. Looked scripted. Everything from the protests, the marches, the police taking a knee with these people, the police taking a knee with them, the police turning a blind eye to their vandalism, particularly in London and in Bristol and elsewhere. The statue toppling. All of it looked very carefully planned and orchestrated to my reasonably trained eye. I've been around. So amazing that it went on during a pandemic, said Vine. Of course, the clue is in that. Then this morning on BBC Radio 5 Live, a guy called Eddie Nestor. I didn't know much about him. I'm sure he doesn't know me. Eddie Nestor is an actor and a sometime radio presenter. And he was on with Adrian Childs on BBC One. Adrian Childs is white. Eddie Nestor is black. He's a man of colour, apparently, to give him his correct. You've got to say that, man of colour. Listen to what he says, Eddie Nestor, the black man.
"It's not my job to make you as a white person feel comfortable. I don't care whether you feel comfortable. It's not my job. My job is to... Because by making you feel comfortable, I'm stifling myself. And the thing about this Black Lives Matter movement or the killing of George Floyd 1 year on is that the lots of people in lots of organisations have been able for the very first time to speak their truth, to be heard, and to be visible. And we saw that man with his hands in his pocket put his knee on that man's neck. And no one can say it's because he fought him, he was a threat, because he was handcuffed. And there were lots and lots of people that I spoke to, black and white, who thought, I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen that. So all the people were saying it didn't happen, you can't say that anymore, can you?"
I just wonder if you get any sense of how sort of white attitudes of changed or evolved, and as the over the past year, do you think things have sort of improved there?
Listen to the answer.
"I think for some people, but I think they were the people that were all right anyway. The other people, that they're happy to go, well, you know, all lives matter, you know, and that's, you know, if I'm honest with you, I didn't know how to block people, Adrian, until they started on social media, until they said that, because
he didn't know how to block people. In other words, he wasn't blocking people until they began to say all lives matter, which a lot of people did. All lives matter. He didn't realise how to block people until he was confronted by people saying the very reasonable, you know, the very reasonable, all lives matter. That sounds fairly reasonable to me. But he didn't like it and he blocked people.
Because I know that you know what you're doing.
What are you doing if you say all lives matter? Presumably you mean all lives matter. This is classic gaslighting.
You can pretend, of course all lives matter.
All right, of course they do. But if a white person says it...
I'm not asking you to do as a black man. It's to prove it.
We have to prove it now. I've talked to you quite a lot about this, haven't I? He said there that all lives matter is an insult to black people. When black people say black lives matter, you should shut your mouth and you shouldn't come back with, well, don't we all matter? Or shouldn't we all matter? I've argued on this programme, and I will argue again tonight, is that black lives certainly do not matter. White lives don't matter either. Lives of people in Latin America don't matter. Lives of people in the Far East don't matter either. You know that and I know that. The agenda doesn't discriminate. The agenda has never discriminated. It somehow induces a feeling in people, in certain groups of people, that they are exclusively being targeted. And that's the ingenuity of the agenda. It's what it was always meant to do. That's how it divides us. Each individual group feels that it is specially targeted. It's a wonderful thing. No lives matter. But saying that all lives matter, as he says here, well, that's an affront to black people, you know?
All lives matter, you know, and that's, you know, if I'm honest with you, I didn't know how to block people, Adrian, until they started on social media, until they said that. Because I know that you know what you're doing. You can pretend, of course all lives matter. All I'm asking you to do as a black man is to prove it.
To prove it. We've heard this a lot, haven't we? That silence is violence. And that, you know, being quiet about it is not good enough. You've got to take a stand. This is binary choice. I call this binary choice tactic. You know, you've got to say something. Well, I don't. You might say I don't. I'm a pretty nice guy. I take people as I find them. I don't see people as black. I don't see them as Arabic. I don't see people as Oriental. I just see people. Now, I've never been a virtue signaller. I'm warts and all when I'm on the radio. You know, and I admitted on this radio show before that when I was 18 or 19 years old, I swore at a black dude in Waterford and called him that word that you're not supposed to say. I used that word against him after a nightclub, after a night out at a nightclub, when he was being a complete arsehole in a fast food joint and causing serious trouble, and we got into a fight. And when we were separated, you know, you say the thing that hurts the most. Met the guy weeks later. We had a good chat about it. I've talked about this before, and I apologised. And he said, I was surprised. He said, you know, I would have known him through playing football. I didn't think you were racist. I said, but I'm not racist. I don't see you as a second-class citizen or less of a man than me. Or stupid, or you know, ogreish. I don't. I called you that because I was pissed off at you. I wanted to bash your brains in. Anyway, that's a long time ago. I talked about that before. I see people as people, and I'm sure you do as well. Are you nice? Can you carry a conversation? Have you got something interesting to say? Where do you come from? You know, what are you into? That's how I see people. Most of us are like that. It's not good enough now. You can't say today in 2021. Well, no, I'll keep my counsel. I will keep my opinions to myself, thanks. I don't have to prove to you that I'm a nice person. But you do now. You do now. Going forward, you do. You will need to prove that you're a nice person. What have you done lately for racial equality? What have you done? What do you mean, what have I done? What have you done for racial justice? I don't understand you. What do you mean? What have you done for people of colour? I've done fuck all. I've not done anything against them. That's not good enough. That's where we're going. And Jeremy Vine said it's an amazing thing that this Black Lives Matter thing took off in the pandemic. Well, that was the point. The scamdemic. That was, of course, the whole point, wasn't it? Because this is the agenda now. The Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. The gloves have come off now. If you want to think of this in biblical terms, we're at the end of the Bible now. We're approaching the Book of Armageddon. It's not the Book of Armageddon. Is it the Book of Armageddon? That's where we are now, right? And this is the end game. This is where it's all leading. So we need to be distracted from that. We need to be distracted away from it, all of us, the entire planet. How do you do that? Well, you basically play culture wars and you play identity politics, and people slip into that role, into their own role without even realising it. That's what they do. Don't think for a minute that the Black Lives Matter activists, don't think for a minute that the Extinction Rebellion dipsticks, don't think that they're shills. They're not shills. They believe this shit. They've been induced into believing it. They've been programmed into believing it. And while we fight climate change bollocks, while we fight identity politics wars and culture wars, and while we try and figure out who's the biggest victim, we talk about decolonising history in schools and all of that shit, that nonsense. We talk about George Floyd. Some black dude was killed by a cop in America a year ago. How that's relevant to my life, how it's relevant to the life of a black man in the UK is beyond me. It's a nonsense. And while all that's going on, they're injecting toxic pus into people that will kill in the long term, even in the medium term, maybe millions of people. The agenda doesn't discriminate. It never has. Doesn't matter what colour you are. Doesn't matter who you sleep with. Doesn't matter whether it's men you sleep with, or women, or men and women. Doesn't matter if you're gay, if you're straight. It doesn't matter if you have the hairiest bollocks in the world, yet you think you're a woman. It doesn't fucking matter. None of it matters. It's irrelevant. Isn't it really? I can see you nodding along there. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Of course it came about, Black Lives Matter, at the outset of the lockdown. Of course it did. You were stealing people's freedom. You were ruining their fucking livelihoods. You were ostracising them from their dearest elderly relatives. You were turning their lives upside down based on a monumental lie that we were in the middle of a plague, in the midst of a biblical plague. So you had to distract them. Of course, the George Floyd thing was just one thing, one distraction. And that's where we are. That's why I bang my head against a brick wall. It's why I despair. I've been doing programmes like this since 2009. And nothing changes. You know, nothing changes. Narcissism reigns. Acute narcissistic personality disorder is afflicting maybe billions of people. Everybody is a victim. Unique victim. Everybody feels that they are uniquely victimized by the system, man. Everybody is uniquely targeted by the man, man. No, you're not being uniquely targeted because you're black. You're not being uniquely targeted because you're a transgender person. I'm not being uniquely targeted because I'm a white person. Every fucking one of us is under the jackboot. You cretins, not you, by the way, not you, not talking to you, but the cretins who fall for this and who play this game of culture wars and identity politics. It's fantastic, isn't it? Look at them. Isn't there a great scene in the life of Brian, isn't there? When the People's Front of Judea and the Judean People's Front meet under the gates of the palace and they're going to get rid of the emperor and they end up fucking fighting over whose idea it was first. Splinter groups ultimately ending up fighting over who's the biggest victim of the Romans. And they end up bashing each other's brains in underneath the city while the centurions laugh their arses off. And I see the foot soldiers of this agenda. Bill Gates, Tony Blair, John Major, Soros. There are many more. I see them giggling their mother trucking arses off while we run around like headless chickens, fighting one another over which of us is the special one. Well, I'm more targeted than you. We are. Us, the Muslims. No, it's us, the Jews. Anti-Semitism is everywhere. We're the targeted ones. No, it's the trans people. No, it's the blacks. And the beat goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Picture that scene in the life of Brian. The establishment laughing at the idiots who, under the city, if they had met one another and gone, what are you doing here? We're here to get Caesar or the Emperor or whatever. So are we. Fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. We're mob-handed now, lads. Let's do it. No, no, no. We'll just kill one another, you know? Mad times, eh? This is Alice Cooper, by the way. Speaking of vaccines, this is a song called Poison on the Richie Allen Radio Show, Tuesday's programme, May 25th, 2021. Top tune. It is Poison. I know I shouldn't say it. I know there are friends of mine back home, journalists, and some of them are good journalists. Yeah, I know you might say, well, if they're in Ireland, Richie, where are they? Look, there are friends of mine doing their best. And they might say, Richie, don't say that, you know. Don't say that. Look, I believe Dolores Cahill and I believe Sacharit Bhakti. I've interviewed both of them and I believe them. No, no, let me put that another way. I believe that they believe what it is they have claimed. That's very important. And I've had this out with friends of mine. Why take a chance? You know, it's not as if they don't have form. We talked about pandemrics. We talked about the MMR jab. We talked about Gardasil and the damage that Gardasil has done to women. They have form. And so when you get people who have got so much to lose and nothing to gain, when they come out and tell you, hey, Richie, I believe this vaccine is going to cause enormous damage. I believe that they believe what they are saying. And that's good enough for me. I'll never have it. I believe it to be poison. Jesus, you've got guys going on Radio 5 Live saying, I had a jab, went to hospital, got me second one, went to hospital. You read stories in the papers about a young model dying. A guy had it, his leg blew up. They gave it to people in care homes and dozens of them died shortly afterwards. It's poison. Clearly. Doesn't mean everybody's going to die when they get it. Doesn't mean that everybody will get will get ill after having it or become ill. But I'm not fucking having it under any circumstances. Richard Kelly, how you doing, Richard? Thanks so much for your lovely email. He says, Richie, the magnet sticking is real. My friend was forced to be vaccinated because he needed a treatment, long story. He was coerced, Richard, is what you mean. But he is a straight guy, my friend. He's a farmer, as it happens. And he sent me a video of him putting a magnet to his arm and also to his elderly mam, who, by the way, is still living at home and she's well. The magnet stuck to his arm. And I know how angry this man is about being jabbed. You don't know me, Richie, but I'm a Kildare man. I'm self-employed. I do not lie. I know a man. He's a farmer. He had the jab. A magnet is sticking to his arm. Thanks, Richard. I've read the email. Wow, I mean, that's bizarre, isn't it? And one or two people have tweeted something on, obviously on Twitter, saying the same thing. I don't know what to make of that. Richard, I wouldn't call you a liar, my friend. If you tell me you've had that message from your friend, I don't doubt it for a minute. I do not doubt it for a minute. Wow, what do you make of that, you know? What do you say to that? I don't know. I don't know. Magnets and stuff, I don't know. If you're coming in late to the programme, James O'Brien earlier on, LBC Radio was speaking about magnets and microchips and stuff as a way to put people down, you know, to put down people who are asking serious questions about the vaccines. Richie, James is in Drogheda. How you doing, James? I'm having a Guinness out the back, he says, listening to the programme. Can't beat a draft Guinness, James. You're teasing me, you're teasing me. Thanks for the messages. Have you any of your shows from Spain to listen to online? No. The programmes I made in Spain are sadly gone. Sadly. We weren't in the most professional operation and we didn't archive the programmes. We kept them for a few days lest anybody want a copy, but generally we didn't, sadly. It's a shame because some of those conversations with David Icke, with Jim Mars, with Jordan Maxwell, with the late, great Lloyd Pye. What a gentleman. God, I had some amazing conversations back then. Yes, it's a shame they weren't archived. I would love to play them now. Sometimes when you're short of, you know, something. Hi to Paul Burchell. Paul, thanks for the lovely comment. Who needs guests, says Paul. Well, it's nice to have guests every now and then, but it's also nice to wing it and to go solo too. Hi to Rebecca Nolan. How you doing, Rebecca? Thanks very much. My headphones are exploding in my ear. I think my headphones are dying. They're dying, my headphones. They're basically finished. They're clapped out. Luckily enough, I've got two or three spare sets of cans, but these ones are going, so I can barely hear myself in my ear now. So the sensible thing to do is to remove them, or to at least remove one of them. Yeah. I thought I'd be with you till about 6 o'clock. Here we are, coming up to 7 o'clock. Hi to my great friend Patricia Braunschweiler in Switzerland. How you doing, Patricia? It's an experiment on humanity, she says. No thanks. Dr. Zach Cox in the UK says these are experimental, these shots. Dr. Johan Dennis, Belgium. We have no idea what the long-term effects will be from this experiment on humanity, said Dr. Johan Dennis. Thank you, Patricia. He did indeed. They did indeed. And I've been corrected by a number of you. It's the book of Revelation, Richie, not the book of Armageddon. That's right. I don't know my Bible. Didn't do Bible studies. Never did Bible studies. Never did summer school or any of that nonsense. But anyway, yeah, I did read the book of Revelation after watching the Omen movies. So I did. Yeah, my cans are gone. Feels a bit weird. So I'm going to go now. I'm going to love you and leave you and say thanks for listening. And do join me again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 5 o'clock UK time for Wednesday's Richie Allen radio show, where I will have guests for sure and some interesting talking points, as I like to think I ordinarily do. Tomorrow's a big day for foosball fans, at least in the red half of the great city of Manchester, as United play a European final against Villarreal of Spain tomorrow. That won't impact on the Richie Allen show. The final isn't until 8 o'clock. I'll be on air as usual with you. We might even have a build-up to the foosball. Maybe we won't. Thanks for staying with me today. Back with you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Closing out with the Hollies.